just as why some folks are gathering in, we thought we'd make some good use of our musicians this evening. We'll do a little bit of singing just before the service begins. So we're still not back to the days of picking favourites, so just think I might put our sound team under a bit more pressure to get the words up for you. So we've picked out a few favourites, and Ben and Ruth are going to play along for us. So we're going to start off by singing number 609 in the hymn book, Love Divine, So Great and Wondrous, Deep and Mighty, Pure, Sublime. So we'll just sing the first two verses and the chorus. Are filled with sorrow and care, hearts are lonely and drear, burdens are lifted at Calvary, Jesus is very near.
Are you washed in the blood of
Thank you very much for coming, and for those that are visiting with us, it's a special delight to have you. And may we all know the presence and the blessing of the Lord tonight in all that is sung, in all that is read, and in all that is preached. The blessing comes through the gospel itself, for it is God's power unto salvation. And may the gospel truths in every aspect of the service be a blessing to your hearts this evening. May I just mention a number of announcements, and that is that on Tuesday night at 8 p.m. there is the Bible study and prayer meeting. And then next Lord's Day there is the morning worship at 11:30 and the evening worship at 7 p.m. Both those services are preceded by the half hour of prayer. I do want to take this opportunity just to thank each one for all of the help and all the work that was undertaken and all the help that was given in relation to the service this morning. A lot of preparation went into the service this morning with the children as they took part, and indeed a lot of help then given during this morning service as well. So I want to thank the teachers, thank the leaders, and indeed the sound team and the playing of the organ this morning for all that was done. And again, I want to thank those who have put a lot of effort into this evening. I want to thank the young people for all that they have given over the past year, and indeed for their service this evening as well. And the Lord be pleased to bless our hearts again through the gospel truths that we sing and that are proclaimed. I do want to thank our brother, Mr. Jonathan Smith, for coming along this evening to bring God's word. And the Lord richly bless him as he does so a little later on. May I just mention two other things, and that is that, as many of you will know, as was mentioned last Lord's Day, there is a debate on Monday the 20th of June in Westminster, and there are some details here. I'd encourage you to write in to your local MP in relation to that debate regarding LGBTQ and their desire to ban conversion therapy. Not merely banning that, which of course should be banned, but banning indeed the gospel freedom that we have to present the gospel to people, that they can be freed from their sin through the salvation in Jesus Christ. So please write into your local MP. Details are there on the tables in the foyer. And then finally, as was mentioned last Lord's Day, there is a fun night barbecue and auction being organised by our Portadown Independent Christian School. That's this Friday evening. Details are in the flyers in the foyer. And I know you'd be very welcome to attend. That's at 7 p.m. this Friday, the 24th of June. And the Lord be pleased to bless that event for the support and the furtherance of the Christian education within our land. But that's all the announcements I wish to make at this stage. We're going to commence with the singing of hymn number 97. One day when heaven was filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt amongst men. My example is he. And we'll stand to sing after the musical introduction, and let us sing, thinking upon the words, and sing with our heart unto the Lord.
Thank you.
To the Lord in a word of prayer and ask for his blessing upon us this evening. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we thank thee for the privilege that we have of being able to call upon thy holy name. We thank you, Father, that why thou art indeed the one who is described as the high and lofty one, the one who inhabits eternity, the one, Father, who is holy, holy, holy. Father, we do praise thee and thank thee for thy beloved Son who is at thy right side. We thank you, Father, for him who is our Saviour and our Mediator. For Lord, we are nothing but sinners in and of ourselves. But Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ who lived that perfect life in our place and went to the cross and shed his blood in our place. That rising from the dead, he would apply by God the Holy Spirit that blood and that perfect life to our lives, making us right before thee. We thank you, Father, that salvation is entirely of the Lord and entirely of grace. We thank you, Father, we're saved not by works but through faith. And Father, we thank thee for the many this evening who are saved, Lord, who can sing what we have just sung with their heart. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Rising, Lord, he justified. Lord, we praise thee and thank thee for Jesus Christ. And Lord, the fact he rose again from the dead. And Lord, now lives in the power of an endless life. And Lord, if someone will turn from their sin and put their trust in him, they are justified once and for all. We thank you, Father, Jesus Christ has done the work once and for all. That justification happens once and for all, then in time. Father, we praise thee for the glorious gospel. We thank you for each one who's saved. Lord, this evening, we do thank thee, especially for the young people which thou hast blessed this congregation with. We thank you, Father, for each and every one of them. We thank you, Father, for their love for thee. We thank you, Father, for the fruit of the Spirit of God that is seen in their lives. We thank you, Father, for each one in the desire that they have to want to go on with thee. And Lord, we thank thee for their willingness to serve thee. Father, we thank thee for their faithfulness in attending over the past year, the Youth Fellowship week by week. We thank you, Father, for the work that they give into that Youth Fellowship. And Father, for how well they listen, and Lord, how interested they are in thy word, wanting to learn truth, wanting to learn of Christ. We pray, Father, that you would encourage them in their own walk with thee. Father, you know the pressures that there are in life, the many distractions. And pray that you would keep them. We pray, Father, that you would focus them ever more and more, as I pray the same for everyone here that is thine. You'd focus us more and more, as we heard this morning, setting our affections not on the things of this earth, setting our affections on that which is above and that which is eternal. Father, setting our affections on Christ himself, loving him who first loved us
living for him who lived entirely for us and giving our all to him who gave his all for us. Father, I pray, so help us all to see the gospel of Christ every single day. Lord, that we'll not merely know it in our heads, but Father, that we'll be blessed and transformed by it in our hearts, made conformed into the image of Christ more and more for the glory of his name. We thank you, Father, for thy servant in years gone by who said that it's not great talents that the Lord uses, but Father, it is likeness to Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to be those that are like thy beloved Son. Lord, help us to be those that walk with him day by day, who grow in love for him, and Father, who live for him. Use us as thy channels among our families. Lord, those with whom we study and with those with whom we meet on a regular basis, in our neighborhoods, even in this church, among our friendship circles. Father, use the young people, use us all as thy people, Lord, to shine forth him who is the light of the world, that many will come to know him and will praise thee, Father, for thy grace and thy goodness. So, Father, we give thee thanks. Lord, we pray that this evening that you'll give great help, even what is sung. We thank you for the truths of the gospel in the messages. Lord, bless the gospel as it is presented this evening. Father, give us help. Lord, we're there to present our Savior and to present his love to us in the gospel. Oh, Father, undertake for this evening that in every aspect that Christ will be lifted up and high, that Christ will be seen by faith from those that are young and those that are older. And Father, not merely will he be trusted in, but Lord, he'll be lived for. Lord, save the lost this evening. Perhaps there's someone who's come in and Lord, they're not saved. Maybe they make a profession that they are, but Lord, they are not. I pray, Father, you'd be pleased to save them by thy grace. Draw them on to Christ. And they ask you, Lord, that we're rejoicing not merely in heaven today, but rejoicing even here as well over one sinner that repenteth. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. We ask it for the advancement of his kingdom, for the satisfaction of the travail of his soul. We ask it all. Amen. Amen. I'm going to invite the young people now to come up, and then two pieces will be sung.
The love of my Savior is love. justified, O blessed God, and sanctified salvation wrought. Thy blood hath pardoned, Lord, for me, and glorified I too shall be. Complete in thee each want supplied, and no good thing to me denied. Since all my portion, Lord, will be, I ask no more, complete in thee. Yea, justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified salvation wrought. Thy blood hath pardoned, bought for me, and glorified I too shall be. Complete in thee, no more shall sin. Thy grace has conquered, reign within. Thy blood shall bid the tempter flee, and I shall stand complete in thee. Yea, justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified salvation wrought. Thy blood hath pardoned, bought for me, and glorified I too shall be. Dear Savior, when before thy board all tribes and tongues assembled are, among the chosen I shall be, at thy right hand, complete in thee. Yea, justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified salvation wrought. Thy blood hath pardoned, bought for me, and glorified I too shall be.
Today I'm going to invite Brother Joel, one of the leaders in the Youth Fellowship, to come and read a portion from God's Word.
Our reading tonight is found in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21 through to verse 29. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes.
Well, thank you, Brother Joel, for reading that portion to us. And I also want to take the opportunity just to thank our Brother Joel, and indeed the other helpers and leaders within the Youth Fellowship, for all the work that you have given over the past year. We're very thankful to the young people for the grace that they show in the Lord, and the love that they have for the Lord. And as I prayed earlier, for the interest that they have in God's Word, wanting to learn week by week from God's Word. I want to thank them for their attention. I want to thank them for all the work that they give week by week as well, and helping out with the music and with the quiz and even with the technology as well. It certainly has been a delight to take part in youth fellowship with you, and may the Lord bless you as you walk with Him and live for Him as well. We're going to sing another hymn. It's hymn number 286. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. And we will stand to sing after the musical introduction. Sing one more message and song at this stage, please.
Facing a time. slothfulness. We who rejoice to know thee, renew before thy throne the solemn pledge we owe thee to go and make thee known. We go far to save but Jesus Christ alone. Where other foes beside thee hold their unhindered sway, where forces that defy thee defy thee still today, with none to heed their crying for life and love and light. Unnumbered souls are dying and pass into the night. We go to
this evening in your gospel meeting, and to hear the song sung by the young people in New Fellowship. It's great to see young people taking part in the meetings and going on with the Lord, especially in their daily lives, and wanting to serve the Lord. May the Lord help us all to keep living for Him and to walk with Him day by day as we live our lives for the Lord Jesus. I'm here tonight to preach from Matthew chapter 7, and if you want to open your Bibles to that chapter again that was read by Joel a few moments ago, we'll turn to it together. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. God to speak to our hearts through his living word, through his word, the word of God. And we trust that there will be hearts and souls that will be spoken to. It's nice to see so many children in as well, and of course young people as well in an evening meeting. And I trust that what we even speak on tonight will be applicable to them as well, especially when it comes to the parable that we've read of. It's a very familiar one. And we really encourage the young people and the children as well, to listen in to this parable that you've maybe sung about and maybe heard of so many times before. But let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the words of the hymns and the songs that we've been singing and hearing of this evening. And we ask thee, Lord, that you would bless the truth of those hymns and the truth of those songs to our very hearts. May we go into all the world. May we go forward with thy word. May we sound out the message of the gospel. It might not be to the far-flung corners of the earth. It may just be closer to home, even in our home and in our workplaces and in the areas in which we live. Help us to spread forth the message of that word. And we pray as we hear from thy word tonight, we pray, Lord, that as thy people we would hear and not just be hearers only, but doers of the word. We pray for those who are still in their sins, those who are still outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, those who are still on the broad road, on the way to hell, to a lost eternity, a place without God, a place without hope, a place where there is no peace forevermore. Lord, we pray that you would open up their heart and cause them to see the error of their ways and to see that Jesus Christ offers them peace through the gospel, through his sufferings, death, and resurrection. May they see that Jesus Christ has paid it all so that they might go free, so that they might be at one with God, so they might have peace with the eternal God of heaven. Lord, open up their hearts. Give them understanding to the truth of thy precious word, we pray. And we pray, Lord, that this evening we will have help from heaven to show forth thy truth and to expound thy truth. And may the Holy Spirit apply it to hearts, to the youngest, right up to the oldest. In Jesus' name, we pray these things. Amen. Amen. I don't know if any of you have been to the Leaning Tower of Pisa. I have never had the opportunity to go to see that tower that leans over around 4 degrees at this current stage in history. But those who have been or those who have seen it will know, as I've said, that the tower does lean towards one side about 4 degrees. It weighs about 14,500 tons. And it's said that in the 12th century, or the 14th century it was, whenever they were coming to the end of finishing it, that it was already tilting by the time they finished the building of it. You wouldn't really recommend those builders, or you wouldn't really want them builders coming back or coming forward in the future to build a home for you after seeing what they built away back then. But it's said that that ground that the tower is built on is marshy ground. It's unstable ground. It's ground that is very soft. It's ground that is not stable. It's ground that certainly wasn't suitable to build what's been built on it today, or what was built on it 600 to 800 years ago. And it's said on Wikipedia, though we don't maybe know everything's right on Wikipedia, but it does say that the reason for it was because the ground was unstable. Because of the tilt of the ground, or because of the ground that was unstable, there was a tilt in the tower. That ground was unstable. There was no proper foundation laid that was suitable for that ground in which the tower was built on. And you know, isn't it true that as we look at the lives of those around us, and as we look at our lives, what we see, whether it's what we see in someone's behavior, whether it is the words in which they speak, whether it's a range of many different things about that person, we can tell the foundation that they have in their lives. We can tell, largely speaking, in the world around us by the way it speaks, by the way it behaves, By the way, people in our society think and act and all of those things, we can tell the foundation that they have. Whether their foundation is built on this Bible, God's Word, whether they live under God's authority or whether they build their lives on their own ideas and their own opinions and the concepts and the thoughts of men. A Christian can be identified, of course, by their speech and by their actions. And we can clearly see those that we know around us who we serve with and those that we fellowship with, that their foundation is the Word of God. And I trust that tonight your foundation in life is God's Word, that you are building your life on the Lord Jesus Christ. But perhaps this night you are one of those individuals who are building your life without a foundation that we'll take note of in a moment. But I want you to notice three things from the parable that I hinted at a moment ago that we're going to look at this evening. You'll find that parable in the verses in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, from verse 24 through to verse 27. It's a very short parable that was read by Joel just a few moments ago. It's a parable that is preached by the Lord Jesus right at the end of his Sermon on the Mount. Many preachers, of course, start with an illustration, like myself this evening, and I fell into that category tonight. I don't always do that, but the Lord Jesus ended his preaching, his message, with this parable, with this very pointed illustration of a wise man who laid a foundation and built his house upon a foundation, and a foolish man who built, as it says in Luke's Gospel, chapter 6, that we'll look at in a moment or two, without a foundation. A picture of two individuals who, as we'll notice in a moment, heard the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Two types of people who, having heard God's word, would walk away from the Lord Jesus that day, having heard his preaching on righteousness, judgment to come, many things that we could mention from chapter 5 right through to the chapter that we've read from this evening. Humility, the kingdom of heaven, the way to heaven, righteousness, as we've mentioned, the Beatitudes that are read of in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5. Many different things that were preached of that day were heard of all these different individuals, but there would be two responses. Those who would obey the truth of God's word that day, those who would go away having heard the word of God and obeying what the Lord Jesus had taught. Or there would be those who would walk away having heard what the Lord Jesus said that day, and they would disobey, and they would not obey the truth of God's word. And the first thing I want you to note is the comparisons between these two men. There are two or three very much their similarities that we find between these two men. The first thing is found in verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house. It's very obvious and it's very clear from this parable and from the memories, I'm sure, of many from hearing this parable before when we were younger or perhaps in recent days, that each of these men are spoken of having built a house. Both of these men went to do the exact same thing. They both went to build a house. A home is very, very important in life, as we know. We need a home to have a place of safety, to have a place of security, to have a place of shelter. It's, of course, a place of refuge. I trust it's also a place of peace and harmony. It's a place that we find warmth in the winter. It's a place where we can cool down, hopefully, in the summer. Whenever a young couple are thinking of getting married, it's one of the first things that they think of, isn't it? When they think about getting married, where are we going to live? Where are we going to have a place of refuge? Where is going to be our home? Where is going to be the place that we will live together? Where is going to be the place that we will all being well have children together? Where is that place going to be that we will live together? It's a very important thing when we think of daily life and we think of our lives as a whole. But isn't it so important and so true that in our lives that we all have something in common? We are all in need of a spiritual hiding place, a spiritual place of safety. We are all in need of a spiritual place of refuge and safety. And as we said about the home, a place of peace and harmony, whenever we think of our souls, whenever we think of ourselves, when we're born into this world, it goes without saying, but it has to be said to preach God's word faithfully, that we are born in sin and we are shapen in iniquity. In sin, the psalmist said, did my mother conceive me? Why do we need a place of safety, a place of refuge, a place of security, comfort, and peace? It is because we are born in sin. We have broken God's holy law. We have failed to keep the commandments of God 100% because of the sin nature that is within our very hearts. The Word of God tells us in Romans 5 and 12, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, what came because of sin? It says, death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. That sinful nature is within our very veins, it's within our heart, and the desire is there to pursue those things in life. The Apostle Paul, we know, was a man who wrote to the church at Ephesus, and he reminded the believers in Ephesus in chapter 2 of that very thing, how they once walked according to the course of this world. And when we're born into this world, whether for the young people here tonight or the oldest, as we live our lives, because of the sin nature that is within us, we naturally, from birth, desire the sinful things and desire to follow after the things in this world and pursue the course of this world, the path and the ways in which the world lives. And we need saved from it. The Lord Jesus spoke of judgment to come in Matthew's Gospel and the chapter 5. And we read there in verse 22 where he speaks of being angry with a brother without a cause. He says, you will be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother Raca shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. And throughout the Lord Jesus' ministry, he spoke of hell. He spoke of sin. He spoke of various sins throughout his Sermon on the Mount. He spoke of hell in his Sermon on the Mount. And he spoke of hell throughout his ministry, as we read through his ministry, as he labored and he worked, speaking the words of his Father. There's a need for every one of us to find a spiritual hiding place, a spiritual place of safety, a spiritual place of refuge, because of the sin that is within our very hearts, the sin that is within our nature, and because of the judgment that is to come, we need a place where we can find rest and we can find peace. It is not found in this world. If you look at chapter 6 and the verse 19, the Lord Jesus said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. He says, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. Many people try to find hope. They try to find refuge. They try to find peace. From the youngest right up to the oldest in this world, they try to find refuge and peace in many things, in the treasures of this world. But Jesus says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. We need a spiritual hiding place. We'll talk about where that can be found in a moment, in more detail for a few moments, but it is found in the Lord Jesus. It is found in Jesus Christ, the one who spoke this parable, the one who taught this truth to the people in his day, to those that were there even on that mountain that day who heard his message. That was one thing that these two men had in common. They both needed a house. The second thing that they had in common, if you look at verse 25 and verse 27, is that both of these individuals faced similar circumstances. Look at chapter 7 and the verse 25. It says the exact same thing about each of these houses that these men built. It says in verse 25 that the rain descended. The floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not. Verse 27, the rain descended, the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. Speaking of the foolish man's house. It says the exact same thing about each of these men's homes, about each of these people's houses that were built. They faced the exact same circumstances. They face the rain. They face the flood. They face the winds. The storm that came upon the house. They face the exact same circumstances. And from some young people that I've reached out to in schools and maybe even from adults as well, I've heard it asked, why do bad things happen to good people? You might be sitting here tonight thinking, well, there's a wise man. He did the right thing. You may have heard the parable before. I know I'm jumping ahead. Maybe you haven't. But the parable of the wise man is, or the parable of the wise and foolish builders is that the wise man, he built his house upon the rock. And you might say, well, he did the right thing. You're saying he's wise. And the Lord Jesus is saying he's wise. But look at what happened to him. Look at what happened to his house. The same thing, the same circumstances came against his house as did the foolish man's house. And you're maybe a Christian. You're a Christian and you say that the Lord Jesus is who I need to follow. Well, can you promise me that all these problems will go away? Can you promise me that if I come to the Lord Jesus, that all these difficulties in life will go away? And they ask the question, why do bad things happen to good people? Well, the answer to that question is found in Genesis chapter 3. You remember that Adam sinned. Adam stood on his own word instead of standing on God's word. He stood on man's word instead of obeying God's authority. And as a consequence of Adam sinning against the Lord, the consequence of death came into the world. Natural disasters came as a result of sin. There are many different things that happened throughout the world because of that event that happened in history so long ago. Why do bad things happen to good people? Why do bad things happen to even those who are wise, who, like spiritually speaking, build their house upon the rock? Why do tragedies come even in Christian families? It is because of the fall of man in the beginning in history. When we read of Adam who sinned against the Lord, there are many consequences that came into this world. And I cannot promise you that if you come to Jesus, that all of your problems will go away in this life. I, as a Christian, I'm 32 years of age, thankfully, and praise the Lord, I've never had to face a tragedy and a serious circumstance, but I've had to lose loved ones. I've had to deal with challenges in growing up. I've had to deal with problems like everybody else that we generally have to face. We have to fight temptations and all of those things, but I can promise you this, that as you trust in the Lord and you follow Him and walk in His ways, He will help you and He will support you and He will uphold you. So there's two similar things that these men had in common. Another thing is that they both heard the words of Christ. We mentioned this just at the start, and I jumped ahead and I made a mistake at doing that, but we'll just come back to it for a moment before we move on. They both are individuals of people who both heard the words of the Lord Jesus Christ that day. Both heard the words of Jesus Christ. Two types of hearers. One who would hear and obey, and one who would hear and would disobey. We know, of course, in Luke chapter 8, if you turn to it with me, in Luke's Gospel chapter 8, that the parable of the sower is given, where the sower went out to sow his seed in verse 5. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. It's a picture of the word being despised. It's a picture of the careless hearer, the one who hears the word of God, but it's as if it's been trodden down because it's rejected automatically straight away. We think of the seed that fell upon the rock as soon as it was sprung up in verse 6, it withered away because it lacked moisture. A picture of the emotional hearer. With joy they receive it in time of temptation. However, what happens, we read of it later on in the parable, they fall away. We can think there also of those seed that fell among the thorns in verse 7. Some fell among thorns and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. We think of those who are preoccupied with the things of this life. Maybe in some form or other they say a prayer, they have some knowledge of the truth and they receive it, perhaps outwardly speaking, by saying a prayer or putting on some kind of practice of religion, but they're preoccupied, they have the worldly cares. Look at verse 8, however, there's others that fell on good ground and sprang up and bear forth fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, it says that he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." There were four types of ground, but there are only two types of responses. Yes, there were those who would perhaps pray a prayer, and they would have that form of religion as a result of hearing. But between each of those three types of individuals, those three types of grounds, they were those that in time would reject the gospel or reject it straight away. But the one that fell on the good ground was the one who heard the words of God and obeyed the words of God. And here's the thing, there are perhaps those who are even older here this evening who've sat under the preaching of God's word for many, many years. And you're like everybody else here, or many other, or mostly everybody else here this evening who's heard the words of Christ. Many here who have received the words of Christ. They're living their lives obeying the words of Jesus Christ, and they're obeying the gospel, but you are still in your sin. You've heard the words of Jesus Christ, but you won't receive him. You won't obey him, and you won't follow after him. And very often in Christian circles and in evangelical parts of the world, like Northern Ireland, there are many who hear the truth of God's word. This was something that all of these people had in common who heard the Lord Jesus Christ preaching that day. They all heard the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is much opportunity in the day and in the area in which we live, in this part of the UK and in this part of the world, to hear the truth of the gospel. Yet sad to say that so many who sit under Christian preaching and hear the gospel preached in various parts of the world even, they will not receive the truth of God's word. We'll come back to that towards the end. The second thing I want you to notice is the difference between these two builders. There's a contrast between the wise man and the foolish man. It's a very obvious one, and it's one that will be familiar to us all, I'm sure. But it says that the wise man, Jesus says, "Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock." A wise man who built his house upon a rock. The wise man was wise because he's a picture of one who obeys the truth of God's word. He was not foolish. He was not someone who disobeyed. He's a picture of an individual who goes away having heard the words of Jesus Christ and seeks to obey it and live it out in their very lives. The wise man is one who built his house upon the rock. You'll know that in building a home or in building any structure, the foundation needs to be dug out. The concrete has to be poured. The blocks have to be built, or the timber frame is set on that foundation and the roof is put on, and all of the weight of that house rests upon the foundation that has been dug, that ground which has been prepared, nothing perhaps being seen for a few days of work, and you wonder what are those builders doing, digging around in the muck, and you wonder what's going on, but all of a sudden the house goes up. It's a very, very important part of the building for the foundation to be laid. The weight of that house is supported by the foundation. And isn't it so important? And isn't it so vital that we build our lives on the right foundation? Maybe you're an individual, we'll talk about it in a moment or two, in regards to the foolish man. You're not as yet building your life on a foundation. You're an individual who's building your life on the thoughts and the ideas and opinions of this world. And you're not like the wise man who built this house upon the foundation. I tell you, that foundation that you need to build on is God's word. It's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ in God's word is described as the rock, as the chief cornerstone. Remember the parable of the Lord Jesus? And you remember how the chief or the servant was rejected? The Jews, they rejected the chief cornerstone. And still to this day you reject the chief cornerstone. As yet you do not build your lives on the words and the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, on him who was crucified, who laid his life down for the lives of his friends by shedding his blood on the cross at Calvary. You'll notice that this wise man was a working man. If you look at Luke's Gospel, chapter 6, and the verse 48, Luke's Gospel, chapter 6, and the verse 48, he was a working man. It says in verse 48, he is like a man which built an house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house. He was a man that digged deep. He was a man that digged deep. He was a man that laid the foundation. He was a man that prepared the ground. And in one sense, I believe there's great application there in the sense of how an individual must come to the point of recognizing and acknowledging sin. There's a point in your life, if you're not yet saved, where you must come to the point and realize that this Word of God teaches you that you're a sinner. That this Bible teaches you that you have broken God's law, that you have sinned against God, and you must come before this holy God in repentance. And I would encourage you with that little thought, not to work your way to heaven. That's not what I'm getting at when I make the point about this man being a working man. But I'm making the point about digging deep into God's Word. Praying to the Lord that He would search your heart, and you searching your heart, and digging into the truth of God's Word to see what God's Word says about sin, about the judgment that is to come, to see what God demands from you and calls out to you to do, to repent and to believe the gospel. So many people are going through their lives at a full, fast rate, and they're not taking time to consider the truths of God's Word. I wonder, will you dig deep into God's Word? Will you search your heart and search the Word of God to see what it says of you and your heart and your soul? Here's a man that dug deep. He prepared the ground. He acknowledged, picture of a man, I believe, who acknowledged sin, searches his heart, comes under conviction of sin. Having seen the Word of God as truth, they rest on Christ and His promises for salvation. Here's a wise man. If you're a young person tonight, and there's many older people here this evening as well, who can look back perhaps to their youth and can say that they began early in life building their life on the right foundation, building their life on Christ. What a wonderful thing that is. To not build your life on the thoughts and the opinions and the ideas of this world, but to build your life on Christ. The foolish man is one who did not do that. If you look at chapter 7 of Matthew's Gospel, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, it says that he was a man who built his house upon the sand, in verse 26. For the children here tonight, and for the young people and those young at heart, you'll know that when you go to the beach and you see the children building sandcastles, and you know the way you get the spade out and you start to dig the trenches and you spend hours doing it, and you think, this, when you get older, you think this is just a waste of time. This is all just going to fall flat, and it, when the tide comes in tonight and we're away home and the car's full of sand, it's just going to be a waste of time. But it's the fun, isn't it, that matters? Well, when you build the sandcastle and you dig the trenches and you do all those fun things, what happens when the tide comes in? We know what happens. The sand levels out. The sand is something within itself, within each particle, it seems quite strong with all of the gritty parts of it. But together, it's not strong, it's not stable, it's not something that will support a tremendous amount of weight, especially up around Port Rush when they drive in with the cars and different things. Those are things that help us to have a picture of what the sand is like. And isn't it the case that so many that we've already made reference to and thought about, so many today build their lives on the ideas of the age. They build their lives on the opinions of the age, the thoughts of the age, the philosophies of men within their generation. And with all of those ideas and opinions and philosophies and the culture that exists, even in our generation, there are so many building their lives on those things. And it literally is like sand, shifting sand. Sand moves, sand is unstable, sand is not firm. And neither are the thoughts and opinions of man. And like Adam in the Garden of Eden around 6,000 years ago, so many people today are building their lives on the thoughts and the opinions. And I might have said it here, I might have said it before, whenever I was in a class 2 or 3, maybe 3 years ago, in a school in Portadown, this young fellow at 13 years of age just put up his hand and said, "I don't believe there's a person called Jesus." There was a young fellow who never read the Bible before. Never read any historical accounts outside of the Bible to find out and search to see if this person Jesus was really real. No, he just said, this person called Jesus never existed. He didn't even have to have any proof. He just believed that in his heart, and he believed that in his mind. And isn't that a sad state that we're in this generation and in this age in which we live? And I would really plead with you and encourage you to look to God's Word, to get your mind and your heart away from the ideas, to get your mind and your heart away from the thoughts and the opinions of man, and to see what God's Word says. God's Word is settled in heaven. I saw it on the board when I was parking up tonight, on the board going out of the gate. Thy Word is settled in heaven. This is God's eternal book. This is God's eternal Word. And I would encourage you to look to the Word of God instead of looking to the words of man. Finally, and briefly, the third thing is that there were consequences for each of these houses that were built. There was good consequence and there was a bad consequence. If you look at Matthew chapter 7 again, and I will be brief as we close. Matthew chapter 7, and we read in the verse 26 that verse 24, we'll read from the start. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. We read of what happens in verse 25. What happened when the rain descended? What happened when the floods came? What happened when the winds blew and beat upon that house? It says it fell not. Remember what I said earlier? I can't promise you that all of your problems will go away. I can't promise any individual as I go out to evangelize that all of their difficulties will just disappear, but I can promise you that with Christ in the vessel, as we sing with the children, we can smile at the storm. With Christ in the vessel, we can smile at the storm. I can say that on the basis of God's Word found in Hebrews, that to the uttermost Jesus saves. He will save completely. He will be an anchor for your soul, and He will be that foundation, that rock that will never move. He will remain steadfast. And what assurance that is for you to come to Christ. What assurance that is that no matter what we face, even death itself, that the Lord Jesus Christ will secure our eternal souls. And He will, as He promised to His disciples in John chapter 14, as He has said, He's prepared a place for you. What a great assurance and what promises we have in God's Word. The wise man was wise. He built on the rock. And when the storms came and the winds blew and the rains came down, the floods arose, that house stood firm. What a life that is. So often we hear of testimonies of older individuals who have come through life towards the end of their lives and they've said, look how the Lord has watched over me. Look how the Lord has helped through these situations that I've been in, and what lessons we can learn, even those of us that are younger, from those of the older generation, to see that God's promises can be lived out and God's promises can be believed. What about the foolish man's house? We'll close with this, the second part of this thought about the consequences. Well, his was a sadder ending, wasn't it? The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house. And what does it say? It says that it fell. And it doesn't go on to say like it did about the wise man, for it was founded upon, or it was built upon the sand. It says about the wise man that his fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. It doesn't say that about the foolish man's house. It says it fell, and great was the fall of it. Why does it not say it fell because his house was built upon the sand? I believe it goes back to what we were saying earlier about how these two people are pictures or illustrations of, as we said earlier, two types of hearers. And here's a picture of an individual who heard the Word of God that day. A picture of an individual who rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. A picture of an individual who would not receive the words of life and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ suffered. That Jesus Christ died. That He rose again. That He ascended into heaven. And great was the fall. Great was the fall of it. Isn't it a sad thing that so many hear the gospel for many years? We said this at the beginning and we're just finishing with it. So many hear the gospel. They hear how to be saved. They hear the way to heaven. And isn't it so sad that they die in their sins? They perish. And great is the fall of the souls of those individuals. Great is the fall of a life that does not build their life on the right foundation, on Jesus Christ. Great is the fall of an individual who builds their life without a foundation. We never turn to it. We did turn to it about the wise man in Luke chapter 6. But it says in Luke chapter 6 about the foolish man that he built without a foundation. You might think you have a foundation. That might be your very house. That might be something else that you really love. Maybe some other possession or some other thing or some thought that you have about life. Whatever it might be, you might think that's your foundation, but it's unstable because it's not Christ. It's not Christ and his finished work on the cross that you're depending on for salvation. It's man's word that you're depending on. And great is the fall of your soul and will be the fall of your soul if you die without the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray in a brief word of prayer and then we'll hand back to your minister. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that the Word of God would have free course as it's been preached this evening and continue to speak on to the hearts of those who have heard it this evening. We pray that each individual who's heard thy truth tonight will not just be a hearer only, but a doer of the Word, and that they would obey the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'd like to thank our brother for bringing God's message to our hearts. God's providence is a wonderful thing. Little did our brother know that I preached in the same passage just last Lord's Day evening. But there's a reason why God works in the way that he does. And may we always be reminded there's only two types of people in this world. Those that are saved and those that are lost. Those that are obeying Christ and those that are not. And may we all make sure that we're right with the Lord this evening before we even leave this building, not to mention before the night is over. We're going to conclude with the singing of a hymn. For those that are using your hymn book, it's hymn number 594. 594. When my life work is ended, and I cross the swelling tide, when the bright and glorious morning I shall see, I shall know my Redeemer. When I reach the other side, and his smile will be the first to welcome me. The chorus says, I shall know him. I shall know him, as redeemed by his side I shall stand. I shall know him, I shall know him, by the print of the nails in his hand. Can you truly say you've obeyed the gospel of Christ and the command to repent and to believe the good news that Christ has not merely loved people, but that he's loved you, and put your trust in him? We'll stand to sing after the musical introduction. Let us sing sincerely, thinking upon the words, and sing on to the Lord.
I'm sorry.
Praise thee and thank thee for thy wonderful providence. Lord, the one who makes no mistakes. And Father, we thank thee that in thy precious word thou hast led thy servant even to this passage. Father, I thank thee for the blessing that has been to my own heart, even to listen to the truths of the gospel contained within it afresh this evening. And Father, we pray that tonight thou wouldst be pleased to write thy word upon our hearts. Lord, there are some here tonight that were not here last Lord's Day evening. But Lord, there are some that have been here to hear this message twice over. And Father, I pray that thou would write thy word upon our hearts, whether it be the first time in recent days or be the second time we've heard this word. Father, that we're either those that obey Christ or we're those that do not. Father, we're either those that are repenting and trusting in Christ or we are not. Father, there was not a third type of builder. Or a fourth or a fifth, there were only two builders. There was one that was wise and there was one that was foolish. There was one, Father, whose end was safe and secure, and there's one whose end was that of utter ruin and disaster and tragedy. And so, Father, it will be for everyone in the meeting this evening. Either end will be one of glory and of joy and of peace and security in Christ for all eternity, or it will be those whose end is that of tragedy. Of pain, of waste, and of ruin. I pray, Father, that those who are this evening lost in their sin, that they would see their need to turn from their sin and to flee to Christ, to obey his command, to repent, and to trust in him. Father, him who gave his life for sinners, him who shed his blood for sinners. And Father, for us who are saved, may we rejoice. Lord, as was mentioned in the reading, Lord, and in the earlier context, Lord, the wise man is one whose heart has been changed. Father, help us who are saved tonight to rejoice that we're saved by grace. We're wise not because we were born wise, because God has stepped into our hearts and lives and made us wise. Father, help us to rejoice in our Savior. Help us, Lord, to go home this evening thanking thee and praising thee for what thou hast done in our hearts. And Lord, what thou canst still do in our hearts. Lord, to make us to be those that obey thee more and more and love thee more and more and trust thee more and more. Oh, Father, may that be our prayer this evening. Bless thy word to those that believe and to those who unbelieve. Do not believe. Lord, transform us through the gospel. For the glory of Christ and the satisfaction and the travel of his soul, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Our service is over this evening, but before we leave, there is one last thing that I want to do in relation to youth fellowship. As many of you know, there is a competition that's held throughout the entirety of the year. It's marked based on the attendance of the young people as they come week by week, and also on the quizzes and the sword drills. And out of the four young people that attend and attend so faithfully, three of them were all within 3 points of each other, so a very, very tight scoring round there. However, there was one that edged out in front of them. And while I have to commend the spirit of each of the young people, always willing to take part and always willing to give their very best in answering the questions whenever you're given a category of medium, easy or difficult, and many going for the difficult just to see how well they can get on, Yet there is one person who is particularly competitive, and I want to commend her this evening for how well she has done and for winning the trophy, or indeed the shield this year. And I want to ask Ruth just to come up and receive the shield for winning over the past year. And may the Lord bless you, and indeed bless each of the young people and what you've knowledge you've gained over the past year as you seek to apply it to your lives as well. So invite Ruth now to come and receive the shield. As Johnny presents it to you. Very good. But again, I do want to thank each of you this evening for your attendance and again for the Youth Fellowship for all of your work and labours over the past year. And to the congregation for your prayers. I failed to mention that this morning. Your prayers for the children, your prayers for the young people. It's greatly appreciated. And the Lord raise up a generation that know God and will do great exploits for Him. The Lord bless you all and take you to your homes in safety.